Testing. Are we there? Are we here?
Are we
here? I think we're here.
Are we alive?
We're definitely alive.
We're alive right now. And if you're listening to this in the future, we're alive in the past.
Yeah.
But it's the present right now.
And we're going to be talking about time.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, I think it's a good lead-in.
And space and stillness.
Mm-hmm.
And
memories.
All of that. Yeah. Well, everyone, welcome back to another episode of Another Look with Will and Corey.
Here we are.
Yeah, we're back, and we're talking about my pick for this week.
Dude, what'd you pick?
I picked the great film, which was the Columbian choice for the Academy Awards, I think in 2022, Memoria, by the great filmmaker from Thailand, Apichong Wursakul.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I'm going to try to do it the best I can. But
Apichong Wursakul.
He's an incredible filmmaker. I kind of grew to love his movies when I was branching out to kind of like, I don't know, less discovered patches of art house cinema, even though he's pretty well renowned now. Mm-hmm. This film that we're going to be talking about features a great actor of the world space, Tilda Swinton.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite like underground or buried, but we will talk about the distribution and how this movie is not been buried but has a very specific way of the director wanting you to experience it and all that. But this was my pick for the week. And I was very happy to pick it because I always like to have someone watch a movie like this. I just love throwing someone into it just to understand what's going on with this great director. Corey, what did you think of Memoria? What are some initial impressions before we dive into it?
Boring.
Oh, I knew it.
No, I actually really loved it.
Nothing happens in it.
Dude, nothing happens in life.
Yeah.
No, you had mentioned this movie some weeks back, you know, and calling it out as like wanting to pick it at some point. So when you finally revealed it, it was like, oh, dude, here we go. And you didn't tell me anything about it, really. And just based on the title, I had really like a different idea of what this movie was going to be about. It's pretty modern. Like, I thought it was going to be like way different. And it ended up being different in a different way. But
like a unique sort of different.
Yeah. And I was just anticipating, I don't know what I was anticipating, something less like art, I guess.
Sure.
This is a capital A art movie. Like, this should be in a museum. You know, like, it's a museum movie. Very slow at times. Like, literally, there's just one shot will take, like, 5 minutes, which is, like, not an exaggeration. And that's very long for one take, you know? You know, it serves a purpose within the film. And then it's about, like, sound and, memories and, like, just the past and the future and time.
It's got everything.
It's pretty interesting. And, you know, it was reminding me, like, right off the bat of The Long Day Closes. Like, similarly, you know, like, about memory and, like, sounds and, like, you know, how The Long Day Closes has all that music that, like, is coming from Bud's memory. And then in Memoria, Tilda Swinton is dealing with this, like, she hears this sound in the very beginning, and then it kind of is, like, haunting her through the movie, and she's, like, trying to hear it other places, trying to decipher what it is. And, like, and then just, like, the cloud photography
and
it being, like, slow and painterly, you know, and, like, arty for sure. But they're like different kinds of art. I feel like The Long Day Closes is like a Renaissance painting, and I don't even know what Memoria is.
It feels like it's fresh and new.
It does feel like modern.
Yeah.
Like it's taking place in present day, but then it also has this like timeless feel about just like you're just sitting there in the grass.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate all of your early thoughts because, yeah, it is a film that is kind of preoccupied with sensation as like kind of the basis for kind of rummaging through its themes. You have this this film about a woman who I think her native like birthplace is Scotland, but she's in Colombia working on this I think research project of some sort.
Yeah, it's like archaeology.
Mm-hmm. And she wakes up in the middle of the night to this loud, unnatural bang. And throughout the course of the movie, she hears it more and more. And it's a mystery of some sorts, but it also is a movie about, I don't know, the repercussions of the environment that we're in. Like when we hear something, what does it make us think of? Or what does it make us feel? Or when we discover something exciting, like a band playing in a university and you stumble across something, how does that make you feel? The film is so dense in spite of it kind of being very spare and there's not a lot to really cling to. It's more about these fleeting moments and experiences that she has that contribute to the mystery of it all. But I really do enjoy, and I love just having other people experience it. It's just kind of the weird, elusive, slips right through your fingers sort of tangibility of the movie.
I love stuff like this. I feel just in general, I think I just love all the stuff.
Yeah.
But I particularly like art stuff because there's so little of it, I think.
Yeah.
So much, or maybe I just don't experience as much of it, you know, because everything that's being pushed to like the masses is all the Marvel blockbuster stuff. Occasionally, like a Skinamarink gets through, you know, and that's another movie that makes me think of this movie too, of Memoria. It's like, so Skinamarink, I was feeling is like slow.
Yeah.
Slow burn.
For sure.
Memoria is so slow that I feel like it even defies its own slowness and like breaks the idea of slowness down to the point where it's not slow. It's just, you're looking out a window. It's like if you were standing, just stand at your window and just watch the world for 5 minutes and don't say anything. Like that's what the movie's like.
Yeah.
Is that boring? Like, is your life boring?
Yeah.
Is your life boring? Watch this movie.
Corey, you're delivering a message to the haters.
But that was something I was thinking afterwards is like, I would describe this movie as like very slow. But then to really even get the idea of how slow it is, I want to say like, it's just being. It's like you're just being alive.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally like you're looking through a portal of just watching the outside, you know, you're just watching some trees. I mean, there's like, there are scenes in here. It's not all extremely slow. There's one particular scene later that we'll get to that is like the thing that the part that I keep going back to is like, that was so long, you know, but then like, it's not long, it's not slow, it's not boring. It's just what being alive is like.
Yeah. No. And there's a sense of this movie kind of like acclimating you to the pace and the tone, whether you're aware of it or not, every movie sets a tone and a pace for the viewer.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it, you know, this might be a little bit, I don't know, not condescending, but a little bit like, ho, ho, ho. But it is kind of up to the viewer to acclimate to that pace or, in their opinion, to decide whether that is the right pace for the movie. Like, you know, is something extraneous? Is something pivotal to the plot or the tone or the shape of the movie, right?
Yeah.
But this is a movie that literally starts, if you watch it with the subtitles, it starts with, it just says silence.
That's so funny.
It starts with that as like most movies, I feel like are based upon a layer of sound in the soundtrack. And mm-hmm. when it's quiet, that's when you notice it, right? Yeah. This is a movie where that silence is kind of the main bulk of the movie. Mm-hmm. And any sound that you do hear becomes this sort of conversation about what you're hearing and like why you're hearing it, I guess.
It's interesting in the subtitles because there's another part later where there's a shot of some people talking and it's raining like really hard. Mm-hmm. And the subtitle says like muffled speaking or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like the movie wants you to know they are talking, but you can't hear it because the rain is so hard. So it's interesting to think of, you know, for a deaf person mm-hmm. who needs the subtitles, for then the movie to be like, this silence is important. And that's the thing you have to know about this. Like, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. know, so, you know, it's interesting, like the considerations the subtitles have to take to still give the same experience to a person who has like one less sense, you know, mm-hmm. same with in Hail Caesar, when the would that it were so simple, mm-hmm. like they spell out twa, mm-hmm. you know, because you have to, because if it was just the word,
that wouldn't be a joke.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking like, oh, that's so funny that the subtitles do that. But then it was like, it's not, they're not doing that for fun. They're doing it to like inform the viewer, yeah. you know, if they can't hear that, yeah. it's like, this is what's happening.
Well, it's like this movie isn't just about the sounds that we hear, but it's also about like how long does the sound go for and mm-hmm. what is the impact of that sound. We have mm-hmm. an early scene which is very Spielberg mm-hmm. and it's the scene where a bunch of car alarms go off. It's very Close Encounters.
Mm-hmm. Holy Motors.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And it starts with one car and then another car and then another car. And pretty soon like this entire lot has all these different cars going off. And it's the escalation of that sound. And then at a certain point, cars start turning off and the sound starts to go down again. And then at a certain point, there's only one more car making alarms and then it stops. And then the film doesn't cut on that silence. It lingers in that silence again.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this idea of like, it's not our perception of sound is one thing, but it's also like, what is the circumstance surrounding it? The mystery is why are these cars going off? But in the moment, while you're watching it, you're studying like this pattern of sounds. Yeah. And that's what is key in this movie. It's not just the images, but what you're hearing and what the characters are experiencing as they hear it.
As I was taking my notes, I was feeling like I was very diligent about my interpreting the, you know, the art of this movie and being like, okay, this thing is this, or like, I see this part of the framing or the composition, you know? Mm-hmm. And then as I was going, I was kind of like, you know what? This movie's more about like, let it just wash over me, actually. And I'm going to stop being so analytical about it because I think I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, or maybe some of this stuff isn't there. Mm-hmm. But that car scene made me think like the way that the meaning of sounds and how they relate to each other, because like there's no person in that car scene. Mm-hmm. Like no one tries to steal a car and then it goes off and then they all go off. It's like, it just happens.
Yeah.
And it's very like musical mm-hmm. the way that they're all working together and like, and yeah, everything kind of starts adding up all these alarms and then they decrease and then there's just the one and then it ends. And it's like, that was a cool song. And like no one comes to turn them off. And then you're saying, you know, too, like the way we just sit with them after they're done, mm-hmm. like no person comes in there either. So I was like, at no point were those alarms alarming, you know? It was like, hear the music in this thing that isn't supposed to be the original meaning. Or, you know, because when you hear a car alarm, you think, like, bad stuff is happening, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I should be alert. Mm-hmm. It's not music, you mm-hmm. know? This is, like, an emergency. But then in that scene, like, the emergency goes away. And so that was making me think, like, oh, the difference between like, or sound losing its meaning,
yeah.
I think is like an early on thing that I was like, all right, I'm going to pick up on that.
Yeah. No, the film is so evocative in what kind of sounds it puts in your ears, essentially. Mm-hmm. I was, the first time I saw this, to kind of give some context, was I saw it on like a random screener that had leaked online, because the big thing was in America, Neon, the distribution company, put this out, and they had it as a forever roadshow, where if it came to your city, you would go to the theater and experience it, but it was never going to be on home video in America. So far, that's true.
Weird.
I will say that there are two different editions that are, I think, Australian. I have like a cheaper edition, but there's like a more special edition with a booklet and stuff.
Cool.
Both of those are, they say that they're region B, but they are region free. Like I can put it in my PS5 and it plays no problem. So if you're looking to watch this movie legally without, you know, doing anything like that, that is the way to watch it. But as of this recording, there's no like Criterion release.
Yeah.
No special edition from a different distributor or a different home video company.
Yeah, I was looking up to try to watch it again before we recorded it, and like I couldn't find it online, and the library didn't even have it.
Yeah.
You know?
And in one hand, I understand the kind of that contributing to the elusive nature of the movie. Like it becomes a memory that you've only seen once, right?
Yeah.
And it's something that's like, oh yeah, I saw that like 10 years ago and I think about it all the time, but I never saw it, you know, I never saw it again. But in this case, there is something I think so great about it in terms of rewatchability. I've watched it multiple times since. I saw it on that screener. I went and saw it at the Gene Siskel Film Center. I have this Blu-ray, so it's very easy to rewatch it.
Yeah.
And I always find something new in it. So, it's not that I disagree with the choice. I just wish there was another way for people to properly experience it. Because, you know, we just watched it on my TV. It's totally accessible and watchable on a TV screen. I'm not going to make any, I'm not going to be like, no, you need to see it in the theater.
Yeah.
You know, as someone who saw a 35 millimeter print of it down in Chicago, it's like, it's those things are out there every so often. It's cool, but I don't hear about it playing anywhere now. So like, that's kind of like, if you're going to commit to the forever roadshow bit of it, it should be in theaters all the time, at least at one major city, like all the time.
Yeah.
But you know, it was a marketing tactic. I don't know how well it actually worked in the long run to preserving the longevity of this movie. But I'm very happy that it, for one, exists in kind of that space where people think about it like this too.
So
that's kind of just kind of giving some context to that. But like thinking of it as like that elusive sort of movie as this something that like you watch and you it's hard to find or hard to track down does kind of contribute to this movie feeling unique, in especially in the art house space. Art house movies are often hard to see in theaters if you don't live in New York or LA. They come on random, they're on, you know, there's like a random two-night screening at like a university theater or something. At least in our area, a lot of films rarely make it to the screen if they aren't like a popular art film, like something that A24 puts out, which is like at this point close to not even really being art house in this sense.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I do think that with it being a Tilda Swinton film, you know, her leading this performance, I hope that someday it kind of rises to the task of being something that people discover and are able to watch and like share it with other people, like a fun little secret essentially. Oh my gosh, like it's an incredible movie. And I don't really know where else to go with this podcast. So I think I'll just probably go to like one of my favorite quotes in the movie, which is when she, Tilda Swinton's character, goes to a sound engineer named Hernan. And he is just working on the soundboard, and she has this experience with him where she goes and she says, "I need you to recreate this sound that I heard." And the sound is like this deep, bassy, kind of wet sound, like and she describes it is in this great quote, like a rumble from the core of the earth. And as much as that's like a great way to describe it, and it's also a great sequence because it's like, have you ever heard something and you wanted to describe it to somebody? And you just can't describe the sound because it's like it's such a unique sound, but like you're trying to give it some sort of I don't know, distinction, so that it makes sense. But she also says, it probably sounds different in my head. And that just, to me, unlocks this entire movie, which is everybody's experiencing this movie differently, and mm-hmm. it's such a blank canvas for us to project how we feel onto mm-hmm. this. And that's, I think, what art cinema is all about. It's just kind of, like you said, belongs in a museum. There are scenes of her walking through exhibitions in this movie, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like you're just watching her experience this.
Yeah, that scene in particular, the first part of it is she, like, is waiting for him to, like, finish up his work.
Yeah.
And the shots from, like, behind the soundboard. So we're looking at the guy and then Tilda Swinton in the background,
mm-hmm.
and they're just sitting there, and they're listening to a score of, like, a music, you know, that he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had the sound off, you know, it's just a 3-minute shot of them just sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, still.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because it's like, they're listening, you mm-hmm. know, so they're not doing anything else. But it's interesting as we're the viewers that mm-hmm. we're just watching them listen. Like, and there's another scene that has a similar thing where Tilda Swinton's walking around, and I think it's her sister who's in that band,
mm-hmm.
and she's going to see them, like, practice. And so she just stops by this room in a building, and they're jamming. It's this, like, jazz band,
mm-hmm.
and super great music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And, like, another time where, like, for half of that song, you're watching the people in the room listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not moving either because they're just sitting there, you know, and she's leaning in the doorway. So it's another time where, like, if you muted it, all you'd be seeing is them just standing there. So I feel like there's something in that, too, where it's like, I don't know exactly, but I feel like there's something there.
Yeah, I definitely see the threads that you're picking up with this. And it his films... he often goes by the nickname Joe because
mm-hmm.
people butchering his name all the time. Yeah. I'm sure he's sick of it. Yeah. But Joe, as a famous filmmaker from Thailand, some of his famous films include Tropical Milady, Uncle Boon Mi, who can recall his past lives, A Cemetery of Splendor. A lot of them are about states of mind and states of being that are not consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Cemetery of Splendor is kind of about, like, this mysterious ailment that affects these people in this hospital, and they're unconscious. And it's like,
oh, cool.
You watch these long static shots of people in hospital beds, you know, or Uncle Boon Mi is about, like, people summoning spirits and kind of experiencing death kind of at the same time as experiencing life. It's very interesting.
Oh, dude, yeah, that is all over this movie, too.
No, and yeah, so when we look at Memoria in particular, it is very much an extension of when we have these responses to sound and the response to just, like, experiencing things. It is about the totality of what we see.
Mm-hmm.
And through this movie, it kind of pinpoints what is prominent or important, I think. Like, that those scenes where the sound is literally the whole reason for you to watch this band perform.
Yeah.
And they don't even show the band. You hear the band before you see them.
Mm-hmm.
There is this sense of, what exactly am I getting from this when the sound is the main focus? Like, like I'm just watching them listen.
You
like, what is this?
Turn the TV off if you still had the sound on. Or like,
yeah, you have like a sound bar or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That watching this movie without images would be a frustrating experience, but also it might work. I don't really know how to describe that because this movie is about the act of listening, I think. Like, you hear something. Cool. Like, the first time she hears the noise, she's woken up by it. She doesn't really have a great sense of what the noise is. You know, she was wondering if they were doing construction in her area, if, like, that was maybe something. But she really deep down knows it's not that.
Yeah. It's a really cool opening shot, too.
Oh, yeah. She rises from bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting, you know, kind of like it was confusing me, the perspective, because it's this silhouette of her in the bed and you're like behind her and she's standing up or she sits up and kind of takes her legs off the bed, you know, and is just sitting there. But it's one of those like is the thing rotating at me or rotating away from me? You know, it's one of those like optical illusions for a moment. And before I even really know what the movie's about, because it's in the very beginning, you know, I'm like, whoa, this is like, what am I seeing? I get that it's a person, you know, and then she hears that sound. And then, yeah, later throughout the movie, we get to try to remember the sound too. Like the way she starts describing it and how it's different in her head, you know, then I'm thinking about, that's not how I remember hearing it, mm-hmm. you know? And she like hears these moments at different times. There's another part where like a gunshot happens. It's actually, I think, the backfire of a car.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's in the street. People are just walking around. This bang happens and you don't see it right away. But there's like this guy who thinks it's a gunshot and he drops to the ground. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is like, you know, they're like, was that, or, mm-hmm. you know, is this? And then he gets up and he's looking around and he runs away. Mm-hmm. And then other people are like, is this an emergency or whatever? And then Tilda Swinton is there too. And she's unfazed by it. And it wasn't until like after the scene that I put together, she's not afraid of whether it was a gunshot or not. She's trying to feel like, was that the sound? Was it that?
Mm-hmm.
Like now she's trying to remember the sound she just heard in that car backfire and comparing it to the sound she heard earlier. That's another time where like the meaning of the sound is kind of removed, or like it could, if it was a gunshot, it'd be like emergency, you know, but since it was just a backfire of a car, it's fine. But it's like, you maybe didn't know what it was at first. So you don't know how to react to it mm-hmm. because like the meaning behind the sound wasn't there at first.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else took it as not a gunshot except for that one guy.
You know? But it's like, and there's that perception again, this idea of everyone else experiences something in one way. That's what we think. Like whenever we hear something outside, maybe everybody hears it the same way. Mm-hmm. But then there's this one person who has a, whether it's their own experience, their own anxiety, whatever, they react to it fundamentally differently.
Yeah.
You know, that everyone else, mm-hmm. like just across the board different. And that's what makes the scene kind of eerie and like weird. Like it's one of the weirdest scenes in the movie mm-hmm. because he drops to the ground clearly distraught. And then after the film cuts to the truck and shows the exhaust coming out of the pipe and you're like, oh, it was car kicking up a backfire or whatever.
It's not Colombian gangs or whatever.
Yeah. It's there's no like shooting or anything going on. He still runs away. And there's kind of this idea of like everybody has this own experience, I guess, with themselves and the environment around them. And this is almost like a little glimpse into like, what if we follow that guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what sounds is he afraid of?
Yeah.
What sounds is he dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
And so much of the movie kind of plays with this idea of sound, but then it starts to incorporate time. And that's where the movie really starts to get layered.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie just continues to add layers without necessarily explaining anything, which is what makes it maybe not difficult, but a little bit open-ended and maybe tough to wrestle with, I would say.
It does feel, like you said in the beginning, like it's dense, but it's also like spare.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so much to it to study for sure. It feels like you can tell there's a lot going on, but then also it feels like it's just slow and boring.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting.
And it's one of those movies where what you bring to it is probably what you're going to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching this and you see it this one way,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's necessarily wrong. It's just how you're seeing it, but you might not get a lot out of it if that's the extent that you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it's the same way. If you see a film by a famous director and you've seen all their other movies, whereas someone's just going to see this movie and they've never seen another film from that director, right? They're not going to catch little subtle clues or things like that. That doesn't mean their experience isn't authentic or mm-hmm. real. It just means that they might not have the context needed to give some things maybe an extra push. So,
and what's the talk a little bit about the way that Joe likes people to fall asleep during his movies.
Yeah, he's like talked about how he's like fallen asleep in his own movies and how he, you know, I'm paraphrasing widely. Yeah. There are quotes out there that you can read about this, but mainly he talks about the idea of sleep not being a result of not paying attention or being bored. Oftentimes a movie can elicit a response that you slip into unconsciousness. And that's not, is that saying that the movie's bad or you just really relaxed and the movie is taking you to that place, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to think about. Like, if you fall asleep in, I don't know, Godzilla versus Kong, which I saw last night and my girlfriend did fall asleep during it.
But it's so loud.
No, exactly. The entire movie's roars and like and ape noises and Godzilla charging up his atomic breath. You know, it's all loud sounds. Like, I don't think there's a single bit of silence in the movie.
Yeah.
The exact opposite of what this is.
Totally. If one of these movies was a book, they would be antitheses of each other.
So, you know, you have something like that, right? Where it's like falling asleep during that is really not the goal, because the whole point of the movie is they're trying to keep you engaged.
Yeah.
This movie kind of doesn't do that. Oftentimes, at a certain point in the movie, which we'll talk about, characters just fall asleep and you watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, you start to, it starts to match your, you start to match the pace of the movie, I guess. Yeah. I should say. You start to feel the way that this movie is operating, the way that it's mm-hmm. moving. And I think that's really key.
And I think that was the part in my viewing, and this was my first time seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing what to expect, you know, but then kind of getting into the groove of like, okay, this is very art,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then for how slow and, you know, just long some mm-hmm. of the shots are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I was kind of unlocking the like, okay, this like, I'm not going to be like, man, this shot is super long. I'm just going to be like, watch it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I was kind of like, it's not slow. It's just real life, or, you know, it's just like being alive in the moment, you know. And there's like, yeah, because I think she's doing some archaeology, because I was getting a sense of like the life and death themes, how like, you know, maybe they're the same moment or whatever, like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you can unravel so much from like life and death as a theme, but then there's like, there's a lot in this movie that's like the overlap, like
mm-hmm.
you know, they talk about this dig site or whatever, and like they find these remains, and then like anyone who was in contact with them like mysteriously died or whatever, you know, like or got sick, or some stuff was happening to them. Was it a result of, you know, the spirits behind these things? Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, but there's a lot of like life and death, and then like time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's like the mystery of the movie. It doesn't really it starts with the sound, but that's not where it ends. Because, you have these stories of these tribes that have like no contact with the outside world. And mm-hmm. then these remains that they find. And there's like a hole in the head of one of the skeletons where they said that the tribe would drill a hole into the head to release bad spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of like things like that that are thrown out there to kind of conjure up a bit of mysticism about the movie.
Definitely.
And it kind of just creates this texture where everything that happens is so different and unique. Like everything that happens adds to this uneasy atmosphere, but isn't scary really. It's more of just like kind of just a little spooky, but also a little bit like relaxing. And you like find yourself like kind of giving yourself over to the mystery of mm-hmm. the whole movie.
There's a lot of daytime stuff too, so it isn't like scary in the sense that, you know, it tries to like be spooky or anything, but it is just some of these like real mysteries of, you know, like the tomb of Tutankhamun, you know, like mm-hmm. King mm-hmm. Tut or whatever. Was that the one where it's like people were, you know, like getting into his space or whatever, and like anyone who did would die of like some mysterious
Yeah, thing, you know? I don't so know like what the
real shit like that in the world.
I don't know what the like reality or truth of that is, but I do know that that's like long been like a rumor of like you enter the cursed tomb and exactly. It's like it's kind of spooky and cool.
Yeah.
And then this movie kind of also tries to dispel a lot of that, where it's like maybe not what you're experiencing is something mystical or like, you know, like jungle like in its sense, because she of herself is like very much like a tourist visitor in this space in Colombia.
And is it like, is are these sounds in her head? And when she's hearing them again, she kind of gets distracted. And and then you're thinking like, is she going crazy? Or like, you know, is there, is maybe, is she being affected by these spirits of the tribe or whatever? Like, yeah, like what is going on? And, but then that also doesn't become what it's about. Like it never makes you think like she's crazy.
Right.
But there is a little bit of that, like, and kind of what I was saying in the last episode of To Catch a Thief, where like that little bit of, or no, it was in Vertigo, where it's like that little bit of suggestion that like something might be up with someone's mind now is like, now everything gets changed, you know, in seeing it all is like, is she crazy? I don't know. You know, there's no physical way to know.
It opens up all these little doors for this movie. It's like her journey that she goes on. Is so spectacular. And her performance, Tilda Swinton's performance, it might be her best performance ever, I think.
It's crazy because there's like nothing to it, kind of.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. It's like it seems so spare.
Yeah.
But then you realize what you're watching is someone who has a really strong control of their body for an extended period of time.
Oh, yeah. She'll just do like a twitch of the eyebrow. And it's like, give her all the awards.
Yeah, seriously. It's... I don't know. I think this movie in many ways could have been a larger awards player if they like knew, I guess, a better way to market it. But I also like am kind of happy it wasn't, because I feel like a lot of people just went into this movie hearing that slow, seeing that Tilda Swinton's doing another art house thing and then just kind of dismissing it out of hand.
And didn't she like fund part of it too, or wasn't she like integral in its getting made?
I'm sure. I don't know if she approached him. I think I think he might have approached her. But definitely, once she was on board, things came together.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, obviously very cool. And I just love that she's in support of these filmmakers and like is there for their vision.
Yeah.
She, you know, she's one of the best actresses we have.
Totally.
And in this movie in particular, yeah, there are scenes where like we hear what she's hearing or experiencing and we just watch her. And that's all you need for this movie to be engrossing. That's all you need to be absolutely riveted by what's going on.
It's so interesting to think of it as a movie because it feels like so real. Later on, there's a part where she's just like sitting on a bed in a room and it's another very long take. And I was just thinking, like, okay, you know, after 5 minutes of just everyone being silent, they yell cut or whatever. And it's like, should we do another one? You know, it's like, it's like, yeah, I didn't raise my eyebrow, you know, fast enough. Or I want to curl my, purse my lips a little softer next time, you know. But like thinking of this movie being made is like, it doesn't feel like a movie that got made. It just feels like you're watching life, you know, in a way.
Totally.
So it's just like interesting how that how it's like just different.
And I do want to mention that we're going to start getting into the third act of the movie, so you know, spoilers for anybody who, you know, hasn't seen it. I know that might be a tough act to like seek this out, but I think it's worth it. Sometimes you have to do a little digging for a movie, and like that's cool. This is not one that you're gonna find at our favorite sponsor, the local library.
Your local library. I was looking it up and I didn't find it. And I think because there's only international releases or whatever, you know. But
can you request that the library get things, or can you donate something so then they have it?
Dude.
Yeah.
That's a great question. Yeah. For sure you can transfer stuff like between libraries. But I don't know if you can ask them to get something they don't have, but I'm pretty sure you can give them stuff for sure.
I'm buying another $20 copy of Memoria to give to the library.
Buy 10 and give them, so that all of them have them, you know? And for our listeners, when you go to your local library, use code ANOTHERLOOK to have your order completely free. They have books, movies, music, games, you know, they sponsor this podcast.
Yeah.
And we love the library. It's an incredible resource and one of the only places where you're not expected to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like the only place in the country, this country, America, that has like free, you know, free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Criterions there too. So
yeah.
If you want to get your film knowledge.
And without breaking the bank, you don't have to buy every Criterion you want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is a lot of stuff that you buy, it will sit on a shelf.
Yep.
And you'll be happy you have it, but when will you watch it again?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Yeah, next 50% off sale at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, but I'll be there for whenever that next one is.
Definitely, of course. Yeah. $200 for sure. Yep.
But we, you know, in talking about this movie and how it is hard to find, it is kind of reluctant that we go into spoilers, but this movie does have some big revelations that further the mystery of the movie.
Yeah.
You find out that the source of the sound is an alien ship.
It's really interesting that the movie does reveal what the sound is. And the whole time I was hoping it would.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any ideas of what it might be?
Yes.
I remember, I think you told me part of it, and I was like, whoa, that was like an intense theory that I did not see. Like, I did not see that. But mm-hmm. That's all about the beauty of art is interpretation. So if you want to share that.
So they find that skull with the hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the scene, you know, a scene that we're going to talk about soon, Tilda Swinton's in this house and she's just like hearing sounds and she covers her ear. And then when she covers her ear, it like the sound muffles.
Mm-hmm.
But then when she covers a little bit higher up on her head where the hole would be if it was her skull that got drilled, the sound completely stops
mm-hmm.
in the movie. So it's like, So then I'm thinking that thud she heard in the beginning was actually her body hitting the floor as she dies. And it's like the last sound that's like rattling in her brain. And this whole movie is like some kind of out of body, or maybe she's just even imagining all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hernan, the guy, the sound engineer, he's like a young dude. And then there's a whole scene where they are working together to like source these like refrigerators or something like for some project.
Sure.
And then later in this scene, like scene we'll talk about, there's a guy and he's an older dude. And this is kind of a spoiler from the subtitles, but it says old Hernan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, damn, this movie, like, you shouldn't have done that, subtitles. Yeah. But then I get,
because you don't see him yet. You just hear him at first. And that's how the movie, like, is like, well, we have to let them know who's speaking. So yeah. Hernan. But then they do add that signifier of old Hernan. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, because she's, Tilda Swinton's the same age.
Yeah.
So it's like, is she out of time? Is this not real? Is she dead? Is that hole in her head? Mm-hmm. You know, like, is she crazy? So then I'm thinking, like, it's going to be this cryptic thing where it's like she's actually been dead this whole time. Or because in the very beginning, when she's, like, walking through the darkness of her apartment or whatever, she, like, bumps into the wall and kind of is, like, asleep or something.
Disoriented, yeah.
It makes it seem like maybe she's sick. Mm-hmm. And does she fall? Or, like, I don't know. But, yeah, that was, like, I was getting kind of like, what's going to be crazy about this?
Well, she does have, there are moments where you're confused as to why it's happening because she goes and tries to talk to Hernan, young Hernan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she goes to the university where he was or like some professional building. I don't really know what it is, mm-hmm. but she goes to the sound room with these mm-hmm. guys and she's like, hey, is Hernan around? And mm-hmm. they're like, who?
Yeah, nobody.
And no one's ever heard of him.
Yeah, no one by that name works here.
And so you're like, well, who was the person that showed her the sound and mm-hmm. found the sound clip for her? Mm-hmm. And like, where is the person who, you know, she met like near a statue out in a park, and mm-hmm. she, mm-hmm. he played the sound for her on headphones.
Yeah.
It's like, where is this person? Mm-hmm. And the movie kind of every so often does that, where it throws things in there that you just have really no answer for. It's like mm-hmm. these lapses of concrete information.
And then Aldernon is like, he's like, oh yeah, I never go anywhere. He's like, I only stay here, like mm-hmm. cleaning fish or whatever, because like, I think because he had like, I think he makes reference to like a more troubled life or something, and he wants to like get out of that stuff. And so he's like, everything happens here. Or, you know, like, and I was thinking at the time that Aldernon was like, you know, it's like, oh, because Tilda Swinton's like, what about sports and football? And he's like, I have no use for football. You know, and just thinking like, yeah, he doesn't want to watch TV, you know, because nature and just like watching the world happen is entertaining enough, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that all you need to do is like sit and just enjoy the world, you yeah. know, and like that's enough.
You kind of get a sense that old Hernan is like untainted by life or like mm-hmm. modern life, because mm-hmm. he mm-hmm. talks about how he, I mean, of course, you start to understand that he is like not supernatural, but like spiritual. And that Tilda Swinton's character has maybe the same, not affliction, but like mm-hmm. power. Mm-hmm. Or openness to what he has.
Yeah.
But he says something along the lines of, I remember everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, ever.
He picks up this stone and recalls yeah. a story of, like, a guy getting beat up or whatever for his lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, just, like, the sound or whatever, the frequency of, like, that having happened is recorded in the stone. Mm-hmm. So all he has to do is, like, pick it up and he can see it, basically.
Yeah.
You know, or hear it.
Yeah, so it's like his connection to nature is so strong that he feels the psychic reverberations of the everything. Resonance. Yeah, the resonance of every cause and effect that has happened in his immediate space, mm-hmm. right? And it's incredible. His origin is so spooky. He says something along the lines of, like, I saw two lovers and then I was born. And he's mm-hmm. talking about like how he wasn't on Earth when he was born.
Yeah.
And so you connect that to then, of course, the end when you see this, it's this beautiful shot of this kind of Colombian jungle landscape.
Yeah.
And it's like a car getting started.
Yeah.
And instead of a car, it's this alien spaceship that takes up, lifts off very slowly, and then flies out into the distance and has these beautiful like rings.
Yeah.
That like are kind of like a backfire of its own, like recalling the car at the beginning of the movie.
Dude, cool.
So like there is this thing that happens. You see this ship and then you hear radio transmissions where essentially it's explained away as an earthquake, or at least that's what the general population understands these tremors to be.
Oh man, I was thinking that was a flashback to like millions and millions of years.
I think from at least in my perspective, what we're supposed to understand is that ship was there and just trying to escape, and she was hearing it.
Because Aldernon says like this sound was before any of us or something. He says something to that effect.
It's like how 2001, they were there before, but they never left.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Their presence will always be there.
Dude, yeah. Unraveling all this stuff is so much fun. That's what's great about art stuff like this. You
totally.
Know? It's like, it's vague, but then there's like, it's very specific too. Like, so you can really bring your own subjectivity to it. Mm-hmm.
And this movie also has a weird kind of, not a cliffhanger, but like a tease, where in the radio it brings up the fact that these tremors may have stirred the dig site.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, well, what's in the dig site? Like what are they going to find down there? Yeah. Are they going to find, like, this alien civilization?
Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Literally.
I'm sure that Joe is a fan of Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. If he isn't, I'd be shocked. Because all true fans of Spielberg love Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, as we know.
Yeah.
No one dislikes it.
No. It's widely regarded.
Yeah.
This scene, though, is like the one that I keep thinking of when I say it's slow. It's so slow that it's not slow.
Yeah.
Because, there's a part where, they're just sitting there. He's cleaning fish. He's cleaning the scales off some fish because that's like the thing he does.
Mm-hmm.
They're just talking. And then she's like, what happens when you go to sleep? You know, and then he's like, I forget what he says, but he's basically like,
I think nothing.
He says like nothing happens. And then she's like, oh, well, let's try it or whatever. Like, show me, you know. And he lays down and he goes to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very slow. And he looks dead. It's an incredible effect because there's a shot of him on the grass. And it's long. It's at least 2 minutes straight of just watching him sit there. And I'm looking at his throat.
Yeah.
Is his pulse? Is he breathing? His eyes are open.
Mm-hmm.
He's so still. I'm looking at his shirt, the edge of his shirt. I'm like, is there any remnant of like special effect or like, you know, can I notice anything where it's like, this was computerized where they, you know, how did they do it so well? Because I'm looking at the edge of his shirt and it does not move. You know, it's like, is he breathing really slow? So
there's like, there's no like wind. Is there any wind to his shirt? Because I'm curious if they took like a still and just like
the grass,
super.
No, the grass is moving.
See, like what if they just like took a picture of him and superimposed him over his body?
Yeah.
I don't know. Otherwise, he's just incredible at holding his breath.
No, and that's the thing where I'm like, maybe he's just holding his breath. Because, like, but that's when the duration of the shot is like, I don't know if he could hold his breath this long. Or, like, if it would be, you know. And it actually reminds me of a shot in Persona, the Bergman movie. When there's, like, it's in the beginning and you're seeing, like, the person lying there in the bed. It's like the kid's mother or something, but like that's actually a still photo, which is interesting because it's like it makes it look like not that she's dead, but that like, and you know that's probably part of it, but also because I don't think she's supposed to be dead in this picture, you know. But it's like the fact that it is a photograph and not film, you know. But then you get to look at it for so long, so it's just really interesting how like. That effect, but then did I get to the point that I was trying to make about that?
You talked about the idea of him laying and it's an incredible effect.
Yeah.
But then like what does he say after? You're kind of just describing the general sequence.
Yeah, I think so. I forget. Well, even before he sits up or gets awakens again.
Right.
Tilda Swinton goes and sits next to him. I think this was maybe where I was heading with it, is like this is the moment where it's 5 or more minutes straight of just watching her sitting next to him asleep. They're next to the river. It's going. Man, I thought I spied something really ingenious in this movie, that it was actually this sequence was reversed. Like, because I mistakenly saw some like ledges in the river in the background. So I thought the water cannot be moving the way that it's moving if it drops from those ledges. So I was like, this is backwards. I was like, this whole sequence is just reversed.
Yeah.
And it could, like, it could have been. Because Tilda Swinton, all she does is like move her head back and forth slowly, you know? And there are some birds in the background. We all know birds aren't real.
Yeah, not real.
But if they were real, they don't step backwards. And this one bird, because I was like trying to pick, you know, I was trying to pick all these little details out where it's like, if you took a shot of leaves blowing in the wind and reversed it, it would look the same as if it was going forwards. You know, moving your head left to right, reverse it, it looks the same. And these are all like slow little movements. And then this bird lands, and then I was like, all right, I'm watching this bird. This is going to, you know, this is going to seal it. And it takes this little step backwards. And I was like, that's it. Birds don't go backwards. They only walk forwards. That's what I'm convinced.
I love that this movie.
Real quick, and it was not.
I love
backwards.
No, I love that this movie like let you have that experience though. Like mm-hmm. it really is like a canvas for you to just like let your emotions and your feelings about the movie just like run loose. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. so you have this. You have this opinion or this mm-hmm. theory about mm-hmm. it, and like the movie isn't there to say no.
Yeah,
the movie's yeah. just there to be mm-hmm. the movie.
And so, this is yeah where I was like, I just feel this way about the invention of photography, movies mm-hmm. in general. Mm-hmm. It's a portal to other parts of the world.
Yeah,
like webcams and shit. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can like just open up a screen and like see anything in a different part of the world, you know, mm-hmm. is insane. Mm-hmm. It's insane. You know what I mean? So like this shot of her sitting there mm-hmm. is so long mm-hmm. and it's so slow that it's not long and slow. It's just a window. You're mm-hmm. just looking out a window. You're standing there mm-hmm. watching her sit there next to him sleeping there. Mm-hmm. It's just life.
Yeah. No, it really unfolds in just a completely unobtrusive way. You just like watch it and experience it, and like the vibes kind of just they hit you in waves. Mm-hmm. There's really no sense of the movie imposing anything on you,
and it doesn't feel like I don't feel like ugh, art, you know, 10-minute shot of her just sitting there. Like it doesn't feel like that either, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Mm-hmm. No, it really lets you experience it fully, and it has a real sense of itself. It has a perspective and a unique narrative. Like as much as the movie is slow, nothing is not happening. Like
yeah.
Everything that's happening is happening for a reason. There's nothing yeah. extraneous or out of place. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel so, I don't know, like discombobulated. It really flows just at its own pace.
Yeah.
You know, it gets to its destination. It just takes a very unique path in getting there. Mm-hmm.
And what does he say when he wakes up? Do you have some notes?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That? Something. When he wakes up, he says, she asks, like, how was it? Mm-hmm. And she says death. And yeah. it's like a sense of like, oh, shit, like he just didn't fall asleep. He died. And you kind of know that beforehand. You kind of get a sense that he's not yeah. just standard sleeping.
Seeing his eyes open. He's not breathing.
He doesn't look like that. Like, he's just taking a little nap. Yeah. but, yeah, he says something along the lines of, like, how was death? And he was like, it's okay. And he's like, I just stopped.
That was so, like, comforting for me in the moment, too. Because
it's beautiful.
I think a lot about death and I worry about it. You know, it's like the last thing we're going to go through. Maybe, you know,
yeah.
I'm hoping there's some crazy shit that is like, oh, it was fine. Mm-hmm. You know, like mm-hmm. actually it's you're better off as like the cosmic cloud or whatever than, mm-hmm. you know, be mm-hmm. in this material body or whatever. But, mm-hmm. but I really liked that part about it, and just like a little comfort, you know, from some cinema too, to be like, hey, don't worry. Like death isn't that bad, you know.
Yeah,
it's not gonna be just scary because we don't know
yeah
when or how it's gonna happen,
right? No, that's very true. And like I think the movie does kind of take that anxiety in an interesting way, and it doesn't deny you of that anxiety. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, it's not scary at all, don't worry about it. Yeah. But it is like, it's fine,
and then like
you'll be okay. You just stop.
Some people are gonna uncover your skeleton, and then it's like now you're relevant again, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. so just like the past, the future, life and death, it's all just this like one thing happening at the same time.
Yeah, the movie really gets into that, especially when at the final like kind of climactic moment of the movie, she starts to hear things in the way that Hernan hears them, mm-hmm. which is like these mm-hmm. past memories, these moments in time that are coming back to her.
Mm-hmm. The thing with the rock that mm-hmm. he details happens outside the window.
She's an antenna, essentially, yeah. for picking up all of this
material.
So cool.
I thought of that, too, where it's like, what if our brains are just nodes? Yeah, like, the mind mm-hmm. is like the universe, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and we all share it, but then it's like our brains are the, like, receptors for it, you know?
Right. No, it's so powerful. And that idea is like really interesting, because then it's subverted when Hernan says they are not your memories. Mm. And it's like the sense of like, imagine going through this experience and feeling this, these traumas and these pains and all of this so deeply, but they're not even yours. Yeah. You know, it's like you're a spectator, and it, like the movie, we're spectators to uncovering. I was
just putting that together.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing in this movie that is about movies is when young Ernan and Tilda Swinton are shopping for those refrigerators or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they need to preserve the findings. So they're like, this, you know, she's like, this one here is better than this one, you know, like specs.
Right.
But then she's like, the lady says, in here, time stops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so cool. It makes sense, because it's like, you don't want your fossils or whatever, your bacteria stuff, to like grow more or whatever they find. They want to preserve it. But then I was thinking, movies, photography. You take a picture, boom, still
there.
You know, time stopped in this thing.
That's all it's ever going to be. You won't ever get anything before or after that moment. But whatever's in that video or whatever's in that photo, it is preserved purely as a document. Right?
And then the same thing. Yeah. It's like, this movie is only like how it is now. It's this time. This podcast is this moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the thing that was just revealed that now I'm putting together is, yeah, like, we get so moved by stories and, you know, other people's memories or experiences, you know? And that's like, yeah, movies, it's like, oh, that made me cry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I didn't have anything to do with that. And not even that, it's not real.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some movies aren't real.
Really? Fiction. Don't say that.
Fiction, bro.
Fiction, bro.
Yeah, super interesting though. Like, see, even just, you know, all this new stuff is being revealed
about it's a movie Memorial that really benefits from the conversation. And that's another reason why I do think like the road show and like having a community there to see the movie and to talk about it afterwards is always a big thing. But I also feel like just as much as you brought up Skinamarink. Skinamarink initially caught traction as a movie that you'd download illegally on your laptop and you'd put headphones on and you'd watch it. And then you'd go on TikTok and you'd share about how you just saw this super scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it got circulated so much that Shudder went and put it out in theaters because they were like, we have to capitalize on this. Like, people want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see it in a theater and it's a fundamentally different thing because you're realizing that you're just sitting here with these other people just watching. Corners of ceilings and all this, you know, it's like, it's just, I'm here. And so like,
I'm too scared to watch the corners in the movie that I look at the corners of the theater because I know that that's real and not gonna attack me.
I love that Skinamarink scared you so bad.
Dude, I just couldn't look at the screen.
It's scary. Yeah, I get it. It's the vibe is evil. It's evil. Yeah. And the movie for this, the vibe for this is tranquil. And nice. And anything that's like upsetting or kind of existential is taken with like a, just like the stream going by, you know, it's just like, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's just rolling past. It's just
part of whatever all this is.
It's just going to keep moving. So, I'm happy that we were able to talk about this and kind of expand on it because really watching the movie is one thing, but then exploring the themes and picking at it and watching it again. That's what this movie's all about. That's what this podcast is about, is creating this conversation for movies that we want to return to again and again and just always have another look at it, another perspective. So I guess, I mean, before we get too far like lost in the mist and jungle of this movie, Corey, would you give this one another look if you can find it?
I would.
Yeah.
And I wanted to. Same with Long Day Closes. Like, I wanted to get that extra, you know, I wanted to give myself another look in preparation to, you know, for this recording. And also just because I know every movie, ultimately, every experience, like, deserves another go, you know?
So true.
You can always get more out of another look. And even just now, making the connection with the backfire of the spaceship to the backfire of the car.
Yeah.
Like, new, totally new thought, you know?
Yeah, and you're like, wait, is that guy, did he see the ship? Or is he hearing the noise that Tilda's hearing? You know, there's
so, cool.
There's so many little things.
Mm-hmm. This movie's pretty cool, though, and I would for sure watch it again. I could see just putting it on, too, mm-hmm. as, like, vibes. Even though it's, like, even though... So it doesn't feel stuffy art, you know, like, so that's a way that I feel like it's easy to just put on and just, you know, because it's like you get some music, you know, you just get some like
atmosphere. I think it's easy to surrender to. Like, that's cool. the movie isn't asking you to do nothing there. You do have to put in a bit of work to like to really get the experience that it wants you to have.
Mm-hmm.
But it also isn't poking and prodding you to feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Like a lot of art films do, where they're very structured and stagnant and like gallery-esque in that you look at it, you ponder it, you move on to the next scene. You know, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? This movie is almost so open that you don't really have a lot of like things to grab onto. So it's in many ways, it's a very easy watch, I find.
Yeah.
I just like the scene where Hernan falls asleep, I kind of was dozing off a little bit and I wrote weirdly immersive because like, it's like relaxing. And then I jolted awake and I was back in it. But like the movie, it gives you that space to do that.
I think I had that like through watching it, I got that where I was like, I'm analyzing this, you know, I want to like, this is art. I want to pay attention to it. I want to pick out all these little things, you know, all the compositions. Mm-hmm. And then, after a while I was like, this isn't that like, the stakes aren't that high, you know?
Yeah.
Just watch it.
Just, it doesn't just
feel it.
Yeah. Let it consume you. Let it just like wash over you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I recommend the hell out of this movie.
Yeah,
I will be seated day one for whatever Joe has coming next.
Cool.
Whether he goes back to kind of like more like local films from Thailand, or he continues like kind of progressing into like more of the world cinema space, I'm into it, whatever he's doing.
Maybe he'll do the new Godzilla versus Kong.
So here's the thing. This is a quick tangent on Godzilla vs. Kong. We're so close to these movies not having human characters in them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of scenes of the new Godzilla vs. Kong is just Kong exploring a hollow Earth.
Mm.
Where there's like crystal energy and stuff.
It's super... the core.
Yeah, it's wacky. It's so wacky. But there's a lot of scenes where he's walking around and there's like this small little monkey that's like messing with him, and Kong's roaring and the monkey's going, you know, and they're like talking, but there's no subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, we're so close to this just like being a nature documentary, but like with like Richard Attenborough talking over it. And I'm like, you know, if you hired Joe to make this, it would be he'd probably go to like locations and shoot it instead of it being CGI forest or whatever, just like goop. And it would probably just be way more tactile and enjoyable. He should try it. But I also don't want him to, and I want him to stay far away. But like the hypothetical alternate universe where he could make one of these and then gracefully return back to whatever he genuinely wants to do. Get that bag, go make the next one. Because like Adam Wingard is fine, but like I just like, there's a limit to these movies, and I'm sure he's sick of them. And let's ruin another great filmmaker and put them in the server farm machine.
Oh boy.
That's what's great about this movie and talking about it. It's so like, you feel the blades of grass, you feel the wind. It's all real.
Yeah, it's not a movie.
It's a movie, and it's also like not at all. What you mean. It doesn't feel, it doesn't resemble what movies are now in a lot of ways.
Just go outside and sit underneath a tree.
Touch grass, ladies and gentlemen. Touch it.
Just get out there and sit. Just lay in the grass.
Turn off this podcast after it's done, of course.
Keep your eyes open. Hold your breath for 10 minutes and just enjoy the world.
Yeah. That's what Memoria is about, and I'm happy that we could talk about it and explore it. And as always, Corey.
Oh yes,
on-air handshake.
Another pod, well done.
Yes, and folks, be on the lookout for a special Milwaukee Film Festival episode.
Oh yeah,
that's coming up. The Milwaukee Film Festival,
April 11th
through like
the 25th.
Yeah, something like that. You got it.
Three weeks.
As a result of our podcast, we got passes, so we're going to be seeing some movies and giving you like a roundup conversation about them. So there's a lot of cool stuff on the horizon, and that's in addition to our standard episodes.
Another bonus.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for that, and everybody have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, chill out. Oh, dude, you know what we should put at the end of this?
Yeah.
Is just like 5 minutes of like crickets.
Okay, let's do it. Everybody listen to the crickets right now. Okay, bye. Thank you.